places I want to look at real quick. Romans chapter 13. To the preachers, it's a very familiar portion, but this will give me the basis of where I'm going in the book of 2 Chronicles. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, plural, for there's no power, singular, but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. They're under the power.
That's right.
They're delegated authority.
That's right.
They only have as much authority as the Bible gives them.
That's right.
Husbands are the head of the home, but they only have as much authority as the Bible gives them. There's everything's got limits except the power.
Yep.
All of us are to be subject to the power.
Yeah.
And when those powers, plural, are in agreement with the power delegated, designated, everything's okay. He said, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, singular. He's not the powers, the power. Resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. That the power is the one that makes the damnation. Singular. The rulers, and that is essence, the same exact word. The rulers are not a terror to good work. The kind of powers and authorities that God delegates and ordains are not a terror to good works. Antichrist government is not ordained of God. But they are a terror not to the good works, but to the evil. You know a government is of God when it stands against evil, according to this book.
Right.
What this book says is evil.
Amen.
Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Again, that's the only one we don't have to worry about, the power. Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same power. For he, these powers, are the minister of God to thee for good. That God ordained all human government for our good and for his glory. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. You and I don't have the sword, a government does.
That's
For he is the minister of God to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. That's why I protest in front of an abortion clinic, but I will not bomb it. I will resist evil, but I will not execute.
Right.
I'll pull the switch. I'll pull the switch if they need somebody. But I'm doing it under their authority.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not my authority. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, that they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Look back with me to 2 Chronicles, please. Chapter number 22. And I have to destroy all 17 pages of my notes because we just... Try to go. My wife always asks me, "What do you don't add anything?" She sees me modifying my notes and things, and she's, "Don't do that. It's long enough already." I said, "I'm not adding. I'm trying to condense. And so it says, "And the inhabitants of Jerusalem made Ahaziah his youngest son king in Israel." King in his stead, for the band of men that came with the Arabians in the camp had slain all the eldest. So Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, reigned. 42 years old was Ahaziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, and daughter of Omri. Now, he walked in the ways of the house of Ahab. Some of the times when we read the Old Testament, there's a lot of confusion, and confusion's of the devil. But during this period of time, you have a king in Israel, the northern kingdom, Ahaziah, and you have an Ahaziah king in Judah, in the southern kingdom. You have Jehoram in the north, and you have Jehoram in the south. They were making nice with one another. Judah and Israel were making alliances and making nice political stuff. And so you get confused. You know, who are they talking about sometime? But it's always good to get clear. But my point today that I'm trying to get to is, a lot of times we don't just get confused of who the kings are and when the kings start reigning, whether they're Israel or whether they're Judah. We sometimes get confused about the priesthood itself. We have this concept, it seems like a lot of, among our kind of Baptists, that the Aaronic priesthood and the Levitical priesthood were just a bunch of pacifists, and they just taught the Bible, and they were scattered all over the country, and they only came to Jerusalem three times a year, and that by course, they had 3 months assigned to them during the year, and the rest of the year they were farming or building or keeping their homesteads up and being teaching priests in their local communities, and then three times a year they would all come back to Israel, and along with all the men to have a barbecue. Basically, it was a time of fellowship and blessing of God, and God would protect the neighborhoods while they were here, God wanted the fellowship. And so there's the Melchizedekian priesthood, and that lasts forever. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of that priesthood, and it's a never-changing, never-ending priesthood. Then we have the Aaronic priesthood. That's Moses' brother Aaron and his descendants. They could only do the work in the tabernacle, in the temple, once it was set up. But the Levites were the priests that ministered to Aaron and his sons. Everybody had their deal, but they all had their certain courses and all had their certain responsibilities, and that's important to know. But I'm just saying, many of these men became some of the greatest warriors and valiant people in the Old Testament. And so sometimes people don't understand that sometimes the high priest became one of the greatest warriors, and they resisted bad kings. They resisted powers that God did not approve.
Yep, that's right.
A lot of Americans need to go back and read the Founding Fathers and read the history of the chaplains of the Revolutionary War and read who King George III really blamed for this revolution. He didn't blame the political rulers. He didn't even blame Samuel Adams. He blamed a black robe regiment.
Right. Yes, sir.
A bunch of preachers that rebelled, especially once the Stamp Act was enforced. And those Stamp Acts were because the preachers were sending gospel tracts all over the colonies, preaching and teaching on the very subject of self-righteousness or self-government and getting liberty from Great Britain. And Britain didn't like that, and so they put a heavy-duty stamp cost on the stamps, and they were after the preachers trying to stop them from propagating the gospel and from propagating the truth that government had overextended itself and had gone to meddling and messing in the places they should not, and we were not being represented. We were taxation without representation and all that. By the way, how much taxes do you think you pay? We all pay about 65% of everything we make goes to taxes of some form.
Yeah.
And so I don't rebel against taxation.
No.
But when they intrude into God's business.
Amen. Yeah. Right.
Some of the greatest warriors in the Bible were Levites.
Benaiah,
the son of Jehoiada,
is
one of the greatest men in the Bible. And Holy Spirit's not going to let me go to the one I wanted to preach on this, but this, so we'll stay right in that area. But this Jehoiada in this chapter, I want to read a few more verses. Look over in verse number 10. But when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, he was a wicked king, he was killed. Athaliah, his mother, made herself a man, basically, just like Hatshepsut did in Egypt, and proclaimed herself to be king. And she took authority that the people did not vote on. The people did not put this. God did not put her there.
Amen.
She killed all her other stepsons and came to power. And she arose and destroyed all the seed royal of the house of Judah. But Jehoshabeath, that was Ahaziah's sister. She saved her young nephew and hid him in the house of God.
Yes.
Now,
yes.
And took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him from among the king's sons that were slain, and put him and his nurse in the bedchamber. So Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Joram, the wife of Jehoiada the priest. I mean, it's amazing. You really want to see a complicated mess. Study the history of Israel. The most dysfunctional group of people that ever existed on the face of the earth, and yet God loved them and cared for them and made of them a great nation. And you can't listen to Fox News without hearing a Jew. And a lot of things they say is great. Some things not. For she was the sister of Ahaziah, hid him from Athaliah so that she slew him not. And he was with them, hid in the house of God 6 years, and Athaliah reigned over the land. But she was not approved of God.
That's right.
Jehoiada, the brother, was the high priest.
Yeah.
And he said, we're going to hide him. Now, things that were done at the house of God under tyranny, I tell you, all over this world right now, there is no liberty for God's house, for God's people, for the preaching of the word of God. Are God's people supposed to stop?
No.
They don't have to try to overthrow the government, but they do have to just go on, keep doing what God has commanded them to do. We don't have to stand on the corner and shake our fist at the government. We just do what's right.
Amen.
And God will see that we're blessed. Now, notice some things that Jehoiada did. Now, this is the great-great-great-grandson of Jehoiada, the father of Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. So that Jehoiada is the great-great-great-grandfather of this Jehoiada. And it's so interesting watching the history of these priests, these high priests, but the Levites, how he used them. He said, we got to do something about it. So in chapter 23, verse 1, and in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself. There's a time that we're all going to have to take a deep breath. We're going to have to rear back on our heels and say, this is where I'm standing. You might draw your line a little different than me, but you got to stand somewhere. We're living in they won't even make a stand between a male and a female. They won't make a difference between what in the world are men supposed to be fighting for if the women are up there fighting?
Yeah, come on.
We're supposed to be fighting for hearth and for home.
Right,
amen, preacher.
I've preached in these prisons for 24 years in Putnamville and many other prisons, and that woman puts that uniform on, she has to stand and guard the showers with the making men coming out of the showers.
It's wicked.
Yeah.
If you wear the uniform, you got to do what the man does.
Yeah.
It's shameful.
Yeah.
Amen.
But we can't even get Christian women
to
distinguish themselves as ladies of God.
Yeah, that's right.
If there really is no essential difference between God's people and the world, then there is no difference.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and that's right. If there's no difference in the way we rule our lives and the way the world rules their lives, there is no difference.
Right.
The world doesn't need our gospel if we're not different from
them. That's right, brother.
And if until we decide we're going to be different, and we got to strengthen ourselves.
Yeah.
Boy, some of the messages here have been to pray.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I heard a message last night by Dr. David Gibbs, the lawyer. Now, I don't think he's really necessary for our churches. But he just said, this thing is coming unraveled. The whole nation's coming unraveled.
Yeah.
Law, we're not ruled by law anymore.
Yeah.
That's right, brother.
And,
That's right.
he was very pessimistic. So what are God's people supposed to do? Stand.
Yep.
Put on the whole armor of God.
Yep.
Robe yourself in the righteousness of Christ.
Yep.
And stand for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Just stand there. You don't have to push. You don't have to prod. We don't have to force anything.
No.
Just keep doing what we're supposed to do, the way we're supposed to do it, why we're supposed to do it,
yeah,
and for whom we're supposed to do it. And if we just keep doing those things, God in heaven is watching, and God in heaven will help. Here's a man, Jehoiada, that said, we're going to hide that young man.
Yeah.
They're not going to kill him. He's a lineage of King David, and God has promised to keep us a king. He's the only one left. We're going to keep this seed. We're going to make sure that he's protected. And so he was protected down at the house of God. I can take you to places in India where people that are being prosecuted and persecuted for being Christians are hid in many of God's houses all over India. I preached in some place. We had 14 preachers. The 1 week after I preached, 14 preachers were almost beaten within an inch of their life because my face was there and I was preaching. The old white man came in and the old American came in and they rose up and rebelled against it. And so I said, I'm not going back to preach in that area anymore because I don't want my presence to cause them more grief. It happens in the Philippines too. And it's one of the most westernized of all of those nations. Well, what did he do? He strengthened himself. Strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. We've got to say, and we've got to convince ourselves. I'm not a big fan of sports people anyway, but Bobby Knight did say one thing. I was working in the sheet metal trade, and I was over the gym, and I was doing some work above the ceiling, and he was down yelling at the basketball players with a lot of laced words in there. But he said, if you can't look in the mirror and convince yourself of who you are and what you're here for, you're not going to convince the people you're playing against. If you can't look in your mirror and say, this is who I am, this is where I stand, you're not going to be able to stand when somebody says, here, try these. Try these drugs.
Yeah, right.
Hey, no thank you. Not now. No, say no and mean it. I mean, if you can't convince yourself you believe these things, how are you going to convince somebody else?
Yeah.
If you're not sure that you're a born again child of God, on your way to heaven, sins forgiven, you have been substituted by the Lord Jesus Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection, if you are not absolutely convinced of that, you'll never persuade anybody else.
Yeah.
We've got, I don't know if I'm going to get past the introduction or not, but I'm going to go as far as I can. So we find that there was a determination. He strengthened himself for this work. And he took captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jehoram, and named these names, verse 2. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of the cities of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel. And they came to Jerusalem, and all the congregation made a covenant with the king and in the house of God. And he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign. The king's son shall reign.
Amen.
If they had that kind of guts there,
yeah, come on.
I think God's people need to stand up and say, this king shall reign.
Amen.
The king is Jesus.
Yeah.
And Jesus is the gospel.
Yeah.
I know there's many gospels in the Bible, but one salvation all the way through the Bible, but there's many good newses in the Bible, for lack of a better way of saying it. But Jesus is the only gospel. He's the king in the kingdom of God. He's the king in the kingdom of heaven. He's the king in the kingdom of Christ. He's the king. He is the king. He rules and reigns this earth. God has set him on his holy mountain. And God is a God that speaketh to those things which be not as though they were. Because if he said it, it's done. We're just waiting for some of this stuff to happen. But God has already settled it.
Yeah.
In fact, you and I in Christ were settled before the foundation of the earth.
Right.
All those that were in Christ will be firm until the end.
Amen.
And so he took the chief of the fathers and all the congregation, and he said, "Behold, the king's son shall reign as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. This is the thing which you do." A third part. So he divided the people. He gave directions to the people. And we've got to have leaders in our churches. We have leaders in our movement that said, "This is what we need to do. This is where we need to go." And thank God we do know some people that do know what how we need to do these things. There's people with legal minds. There's people with experience, and some military-minded people that help us and direct us. But until we understand we are in the army of God, we not just ambassadors. We are the warriors of God. And here's Jehoiada, the great-grandson of Jehoiada. He said, "I'm going to strengthen myself. In these are dark days. We're not living in anything like this day. These people are going through it. This is a mess. We're talking about worshiping idols in the high places and burning incense here and there, and the sodomites are loose on the land. And we've got all of that, but not to the degree they had it." And so he started giving directions, and he started dividing the people and putting them in their part until we're all willing to submit in a local church, until we're all willing to submit to an authority. And that authority has the right to tell us what to do. And I tell it in the home. Wife says, "Well, I'll submit to my husband as long as I agree with him." It's not submission until you don't agree. I mean, my wife tells me that all the time. I say, "Yes, dear." But, you know, it's okay. I'm going to get someplace here in just a minute.
Yep.
"Let none of them come." He said, "Now you're divided. One third of you stand at porters of the gates of the house. Don't let anybody in without my approval." There's a day, Brother Patton mentions this sometimes, but it's all over the world I go to. You got to be as careful who comes in as you put out.
Right.
I mean, we've got to be very careful. The church is not an evangelistic meeting house.
That's right. Think about that. We treat it that way, but it's not.
We're glad for any visitor that comes, and any lost person is welcome to come.
Yeah.
But they're not the church. And we've got to, in America, we're going to have to start really being more careful about that.
You're right, preacher.
I mean, the old Mennonites still had it right. Strangers expect it. But you come in, you got to look the part, dress the part. See, Gentiles lived all over Israel. You didn't have to be a Gentile to be saved. But you did, if you were Gentile or a stranger in the land, you still had to obey the laws of the land. Anybody's welcome to come if they come legally.
Yeah.
And they obey our laws.
Yeah. Right.
The Gentiles couldn't buy and sell on Saturday either.
That's right.
But they were welcome to come. Israel is one of the freest countries in the world for Muslims. Muslims live in Israel because they have far more rights there than they do in the
Arab countries.
That's right. And so God's always made a place for the Gentiles. They're called the court of the Gentiles. They were free and encouraged to come worship down at the house of God. They didn't become Jews. Some became Jewish proselytes. Some became Jews. Now, if a Moabitish woman would marry a Jewish man, she became a Jew. Came under him. Ruth. Rahab. But you didn't have to. Ethiopian eunuch went to Jerusalem for to worship. And he worshiped.
Yes, he did.
He was a lost man. But because his heart was right with God in his worship, God made sure he got the gospel to him on the road back to Ethiopia. If you respond to any light that God gives you, God's going to give you more light. God is just a faithful God that way. He said, "But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord." We're letting people in the ministry that aren't even saved or not even qualified. I mean, until we get serious about some of this stuff.
You're right, brother.
America's, we're not going to have the benevolent government protecting us for long. It's change. And so I'm just saying, we don't have to wonder what to do. We've got example after example after example in the Bible of how to resist properly. And I think our founding fathers did resist properly. And they wrote it out. They explained it in the Declaration of Independence. They explained it in the preamble of the Constitution. They explained our position. Why, you know, among nations, that it's our right to redress government. They wouldn't do anything. And all these other... We faced it honestly. And the Levites shall compass the king round about. If God gives us good leadership, the priesthood, and I do believe in a priesthood of believers. We need to surround and support godly leadership. And so compass the king around about, every man with his weapon. No, they're pacifists. No, the priests were not pacifists. Many fought in the army. And again, I keep bringing Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada. He was David's personal bodyguard.
That's right.
He was the chief of the executioners. He was David's personal counselor. Mm-hmm. I mean, this Benaiah was a great soldier. He was over the Cherethites. David's personal bodyguards were Philistines. The Cherethites. Those were Philistines. Why? Because who's the king most endangered by his own people? So he surrounded himself with people he had won to his heart when he was down there in Gaza and Ekron, pretending himself to be insane, running from Saul. He won the heart, and they followed him. Men from many nations followed King David. I'm just trying to give you enough to arouse your holy curiosity so you go back and read 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles. And you'll find that this thing is not a dead book. This thing, I mean, some of the greatest days of my wife's life is when she's walking through cemeteries. And you see who they're related to. And when you see all these things, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so, and you start putting this thing together, I mean, the Bible just blossoms. And you start understanding who's who and why's why. But here's Jehoiada. He's leading. He's making plans. He's delegating authority. He's directing the people. And he says, and now he's... defending the rightful authority.
Amen.
We don't have a king. We have a constitution.
Yep.
And may I just remind us, citizens, the constitution has nothing to do with us. It does not apply to the citizen. Until 100 years ago, it wasn't called the constitution. It was called we the people. What do you got over there? Well, that's the we the people. It's our chains on the government.
Yep.
It has nothing to do with us.
That's right.
It doesn't apply to the citizen. And so quit putting amendments on it that do.
Yeah.
It's our chains on the government to keep them under control. Because
right.
Government, any government, is a beast that must be chained down with law.
Right.
And who backs the law? We the people.
Yep.
That's why we have to be Second Amendment people, because if we don't have a Second Amendment, how are we going to keep any of them?
That's right.
So I'm not trying to be political. I'm trying to say there's a way to resist. We must defend proper God-given authority.
That's right.
And some of you have never relinquished your vow. to defend the Constitution.
That's right.
You made a promise.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think every citizen should.
Yep. Amen.
I love this country.
Amen, brother.
She's in deep trouble.
Yeah.
She's in trouble with God.
Yes.
But it doesn't take God 1,000 years to fix things.
No, right.
He can fix economies overnight.
Yes. Right.
He can put out forest fires. He can stop earthquakes.
Right.
God is not... The box of the doctrine in the Bible are for us to understand God. God's not in the box. The Levites and all of Judah did according to all the things the Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men, and were to come in on the Sabbath with them that were to go out on the Sabbath. And Jehoiada the priest dismissed, not the courses. What did he say? He said, while we're doing this as citizens, trying to get a proper king, we got to make sure all the other things of ministry continue as they were.
That's
he
right.
did not dismiss the courses. The Levites still had to do their jobs.
Yeah.
The Aaronic priesthood still had to do their jobs. And while we do our political stuff, and while we do our citizen responsibility, we must never forsake our personal course as priests in this thing called the service of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't put that on hold. You got to keep it going. And so he said, all the people, every man with a weapon in his hand. Verse 9. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of 100. You mean the local church? I mean the local temple was an armory?
Yeah.
Well, King David got Goliath's sword, and where in the world was it?
Yeah, that's right.
It was down at the house of God.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Amen.
There's none like it.
Yeah.
And the priest, Ahinabeb, went back there. I got one. We need a sword. I got one.
Yeah.
Jesus said, you need to have one.
Yeah.
If you don't have one, sell your outer garment and get one.
Yeah.
Peter said, here's two. He said, that's enough. Come on. So they didn't have AK-53s. I get tired of listening to some of that stuff. They have no clue what in the world they're talking about.
Yeah. Boy, you got that right, bro.
The priest delivered to the captains of 100 spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he said, all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, until evil is going to thrive until God's people and God's citizens. See, there is a separation of powers.
Yes, sir.
But not the way the world defines that. Every individual is to influence the religion. Every citizen, every saint is to influence the church. And every citizen and Christian is supposed to influence the government. And the church as a body can influence the government. And the government can influence, but they have no authority over. I got to move on. I hope this is expositional. He said, and they brought out and every man with his weapon in his hand in the right side of the temple, the left side of the temple, along by the altar of the temple. You see, they don't know, but they started an example that even by chapter 26. When Uzziah came to strengthen, he was a great king, and all of a sudden power went to his head. And he said, I'm going to burn incense like Saul did. And Samuel took care of him. God rained down stuff. But now Uzziah in chapter 26 is going to burn incense in the house of God, and 80 priests with swords in their hands withstood him at the door and said, it appertaineth not to thee.
Yeah.
They were going to kill him, or they were going to
die
trying.
That's right.
They were not going to. You see, Most people have a concept that anybody could walk into the house of God. No, there was you could only go as far as you could go. A Gentile could only go so far. The women could only go so far. The men could only go so far. And when they threw that woman caught in adultery down at the beautiful gate, just that's as far as that woman could go. And a Levite could only minister in the house of God, but on those days, only Aaron and his sons could do the work. We can't usurp our great priest's authority. He's the only one that saves. We can't mess with his work. We tell people the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. We try to demonstrate our Christianity. We try to show them that this works. And then we give them the gospel. We show them the scriptures. And faith comes by hearing. And if it's not mixed with faith in them that hear it, don't tell them they're saved.
That's right.
I was told till I was 21 years old that I was saved. The trustees of the church told me. My mom and dad told me. The preacher told me. The administration of the Sunday school told me, you're saved. And you couldn't show me something in the Bible that I did not believe, factually.
Tell it, brother.
Yeah.
And my wife wouldn't even give me the time of day if I had told her I was saved.
Yeah.
I didn't understand being born again. We heard those testimonies even Monday and Tuesday. You must commit your faith in what this book says.
That's right.
There's a time and place. You say, I'm standing on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I got his word on it.
Yeah.
I was the wicked, guilty, hypocrite, sinner, pretender, and God in his mercy loved me anyway.
Amen.
And saved me by his good grace.
Amen.
I need a Savior today as much as I did 49 years ago.
Amen.
You take Jesus out, I'm just as wicked. That carnal nature has not changed one bit.
That's right, brother. That's right.
But thank God the new man has never sinned.
Yeah.
Amen.
The new man never sinned. Or the new man would have to get born again, again, again. But the new man doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, that he cannot sin, for it is born of God.
That's right.
So use the law, bind down that old man, put him in it, kill him, as Brother Harvey said, but put him to death, die to self, and let the new man live. That's how you strengthen yourself. You remind yourself who you are, who he is, and what he can do with even the likes of you. These were just common people. Sinners.
Yep.
Failures. They were failures because the country got in this condition.
Yeah.
If they'd been doing what they were supposed to be doing from the start, it would never have gotten this bad.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Amen.
This is our fault. God's got a covenant assault. As long as his people are here, if something happens to this country, we're going down with it.
Yeah.
Don't blame the politicians. If God's people were right with God, walking with God, shining the light of the gospel and living a life that distinguished us and glorified God, people would want what we have and they would be asking us how to get saved instead of us having to ask them if they are saved. Be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear.
That's right.
Though we're ignorant, unlearned men, people ought to be able to take knowledge of us that we have been with Jesus.
Yes.
We do resist evil, but we don't do it the same way they do.
Yes.
We don't get down on the devil's level.
Yeah.
And we don't treat lost people, and we don't treat our government like they're demons. No, we're not fighting. We're fighting demons, not the people that demons are using.
Right.
I always remember Goliath coming out. And the Bible says there was a shield bearer going before Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
David didn't throw any stones or sling any stones at the shield bearer. He went for the real enemy.
Amen.
We got to stop slinging stones at all these politicians when it's the devil. See, I'm a conspiracy theorist. But the conspiracy is Satan's. Not some political thing. It's the devil stirring all this up. And we're here to stop, to destroy the works of the devil, because that's why we're here. Excuse me. We destroy the works of the devil by getting people, translating people out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son.
Amen. Amen.
And so we got to get people saved. Then we got to keep get people strengthened with might in the inner man. Now, how can I tie this together? Verse 11. And they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown, gave him the testimony. Do you know Deuteronomy 13 or Deuteronomy 17? Every king was to have its own personal copy of the law, and he was supposed to meditate in there every day so he would not rise above the people. And he had to make his own copy. That was required of kings. 13 had a lot to do with prophets and prophecies and all that. But chapter 17 gave direct command not to multiply horses, not to multiply wives, and they did it anyway, but they were violating the Bible. He put upon him a crown, gave him the testimony, and made him king, and Jehoiada his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. God save our constitution. God save the local church. God save God's people. God save the embassies of heaven. God save the ambassadorships of the individual Christian. But how are we supposed to do it? We got to get together. That's why we have fellowships. That's why we have meetings. We encourage one another. When one member suffer, of the whole, I'm talking about, there is a body. It's not put together yet. It's not a universal thing yet. Yet. It's all in prospective. One of these days, we're going to be a part of the church of the firstborn in heaven. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one name, all that. Till then, it's demonstrated by local churches, just like the local Levites ministered and formed synagogues, even when they were in the foreign countries. They found a way to get together and learn God's word. Verse 14, and Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of the hundreds and set them over the host and said to them, have her forth of the ranges. That they caught Athaliah, they drug her away from the house of God. Said, this is not, she's not, it's not against the church here. This is not a church job. We're taking her back down to the king's house. That's where she's going to die. This is a citizen's taking care of business. It's not a religious thing. He kept it separate. We're doing this so we can have a proper king. We've got to always make sure. It's not part of the mission of the local church to form a government somewhere. But it's to establish and strengthen the individual Christian citizens so they can stand together and have a good government.
Amen.
Well, oh, goodness. I didn't know I had 6 more points. I forgot. But they dignified the ministry. Look, Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king. It's a 3-way covenant. The kings just didn't step up and said, I'm your king. Not in Israel.
No.
They had to make covenants. Marriage is not a covenant between 2 people.
That's right. Come on.
It's a 3-way covenant.
Yeah.
God. Husband, the wife make the vow to God. Husband makes a vow to God. Husband makes a vow to the wife. Wife makes a vow to the husband. 3-way. And of whom God had put together, let not man put asunder. So it's a 3-way covenant. The people approved a man. I tell you, I get it all the time. Well, we chose this man to be our pastor. I said, is he qualified? That's God's approval. Boy, how do you preach and not get off on the rabbits? Because my wife goes. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry. Listen.
It's
Three-way covenant. We make a covenant to our government to be under submission, to have limitations on our own rights. As long as they limit their rights. And it must be a government approved by God.
That's right.
Rewarder them that do good.
Yep.
And punishing those that do evil.
That's right.
But when a government can't even find out what's the difference between good and evil.
What's right and wrong.
What's right and wrong.
That's right.
What's male and female.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That government's in trouble.
Yeah.
I wouldn't fight for this government.
No.
I would fight for the Constitution.
Absolutely.
And I'd fight for my family, my home, and I'd fight for my personal rights, the God-given rights.
Yeah.
Then all the people went out for the house of Baal and break it down. See, it wasn't the church doing it. If we get right, people will follow our example. The citizen, Christian citizen, the believing citizen, if we do right and we stand right, the world will rise up.
Yeah.
When Gideon finally stood up and showed himself strong, and God blessed him. All those people have been hiding in the rocks and the hills that wouldn't fight. All of a sudden, they all came out and supported what he was doing. People are afraid. If you fear God, you won't have to fear anybody else but God. Again, this is not a rip-snorting message. I'm trying to arouse your holy curiosity. That you'll go back and look at these things again. It'll happen two more times. Josiah, it'll happen on. It'll just keep on. And it happened in America, and it might have to happen again.
Yep.
Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord in the hand of the priests of Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings to the Lord, as was written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as were ordained by David. And he said, the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which were unclean of in anything should enter in. Well, if we don't know our history, we're doomed to repeat it. We don't understand why God delivered Israel and how God delivered Israel. We had some righteous people. Listen, our founders were not all born again believers. Many of them, when they first started, they weren't. But by the end of the revolution, they were. But they were all Bible men. And they were all church men. Jefferson started three churches. He said, why are all these government buildings sitting empty on Sunday? And he started the Second Congregational Church. He put them in the public buildings. He wasn't afraid of separating a church and state. He just was against state church. And we're against church states. That's Catholic. We just believe we're going to influence both of them. What are we going to do with all who we are? We have rights. But how about the Holy Ghost getting his rights? What's a Holy Ghost want? Just say, come see, come saw. Whatever will be, will be. Whatever the Holy Ghost wants to do, let him do. We're God's hands.
Yeah, that's right.
We're God's feet.
That's right.
We're God's arm. God is not going to bypass the human instrument to do the work.
Right.
He's not going to swoop down on America like a big green cloud. He swooped down on America in great awakenings because God's people got right and we mouthed the truth and we took the gospel out and we stood and we lived for God, and God's wind blew upon that and he blessed the church and he blessed the country and he saved our nation over and over because God's people said, I'm God's people. We're not of the world. We're not living in the flesh. We're not living after the devil. We are different.
Amen.
But we can also get what we deserve.
Yep.
But I don't think God's people deserve what's going on. So let's rise up, O men of God. Have done with lesser things. Give heart and soul and mind and strength to serve the King of Kings.
Yeah.
Let's go back to being in the service of the King.
Yes.
not finding out what we can do.
Yeah.
Faith doesn't ask for permission.
That's right.
If God has spoken it.
Yep.
I don't need man's permission. Mm-hmm. I take Bibles into Burma, Myanmar now. We got Bibles into Macau. That's illegal. We're going to do what we got to do, what we got, because we're under a higher authority. There's no higher authority than King Jesus. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. But they won't let us in.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out. Get in.
Yeah.
If you can't do it by personal bodily, get in there by radio. Get in there by internet. Get in there. We've got such